everybody. I'm Stephanie Beaumont, and this is CNB Seen and Heard. For 7 years now, I've been celebrating all the people, places, and things that make the four Atlantic provinces so very special on my website at cnbseen.com and on CNB Seen TV 2. And so I'm ever so grateful to the good folks here at Cove FM in beautiful Hubbards, Nova Scotia, for giving me the chance to expand our East Coast celebration to the wonderful world of radio. Now, with each broadcast, I want to bring you just a little bit closer to some of the amazing personalities that make up this corner of the planet. They may be native to Nova Scotia or New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island or Newfoundland and Labrador, or they may be kindred spirits who simply adore living and working in Atlantic Canada. The only requirement here is that you're willing to raise the fun flag and wave it in salute of Canada's awesome East Coast. Our chats will be just that, very conversational, not entirely sensible, and with any luck, totally enjoyable. Well, today's guest came by way of lovely happenstance. What was meant to be a behind-the-scenes sights and sound show from the Nova Scotia film set of Hopeless Romantic allowed for a great sit-down chat with one of the movie's producers and directors, Latonia Hartery. We'll have that on-set special for you in a few weeks' time, but today's show will provide you with some truly cool inside scoop on this exciting new romantic comedy, as well as some wonderful insights into this Newfoundland-born filmmaker. Now, as for where we recorded today's show, we'll imagine, if you will, a very large main floor common room in a residence at Halifax's historic Dalhousie University, a very busy spot with a ceiling as high as its students' expectations. So, background hubbub aside, here's my conversation with Hopeless Romantic's Latonia Hartery.
How cool is this? I'm just going to go right out on a limb and say I feel like I know ya, because it's been, gosh, I want to say Sadie was maybe the first. When was that, Latonia?
That Sadie was 2014.
Okay, so we've known each other for 3 years anyway.
Yeah.
And here we are in Halifax, and I'm sitting with a mill town girl. Is that right?
Yep, that's right. It was a town of mills as early as the late 1800s.
So. Okay, and literal mills?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And what was that like growing up there?
It was just the most wonderful thing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when people live in rural places, it's common to want to, I know I've heard people say in the past, you know, you can't wait to get out of there and get onto something bigger and better. And it's not that I wasn't looking forward to exploring the world, but it just was a beautiful place to grow up. It's the south coast of Newfoundland. It's fairly warm, actually, because the Labrador Current, which is one of the coldest water currents in the world, passes by the west coast of Newfoundland and the northeast coast, but on the south coast, we're not as affected as much, so we don't see icebergs.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and our weather is quite nice because Milltown is part of a series of communities that it's at the base of a big fjord. So we're on the water, but we're a little bit inland as well. So it's not uncommon to have 30-degree summer temperatures, even, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
I got to get up there.
You got to get
it
up there.
It sounds fantastic.
Well, you'd be most welcome.
I know that you you make your home now in St. John's. Is that right?
Yes, I do.
And that's really the hub.
It is.
Of all that's happening.
Yeah.
And you've got a big thing happening right now here in Nova Scotia. Now, you read these things, these film terminologies, this Nova Scotia Newfoundland co-pro. What does that mean, Latonia? Tell us.
All essentially that means is that myself and my own company in Newfoundland and Jay Dahl and Bill Nevin with their company here in Nova Scotia decided to get together to make a movie.
Right.
So it's that simple, with a common goal of, you know, telling more women's stories.
Right.
And I had met Jay and Bill 5 years ago in 2012 when I lived in Nova Scotia, or 2010 actually, so it'd be almost 7 or 8 years ago now.
Okay.
And we got along very well even then when we worked on projects.
Yes.
And they were sad to see me go to Newfoundland. And I said, well, you know, it doesn't have to mean that our working partnership is over.
Right.
Once I get home and get settled, you know, let's get back together and think about what we can do.
Right.
And when I approached them, I simply said, you know, I really would like to tell more women's stories, have more women.
So this Hopeless Romantic was your idea?
No, it really was organically evolved out of this discussion.
Okay.
So we're like, how can we get more women behind the camera? And it was actually Jay Dahl who said, you know, what if we did an anthology? Like, you want to have more women. What if we did an anthology and then you could have even more women? You know, what do you think of that idea? And I was like, I think that that would be great.
Right. And you have packed the list of talent. I mean, it's unbelievable. Did you just say, we're doing Hopeless Romantic. Who wants to be involved? Or did you reach out? Or how did that work?
Well, essentially, we knew it would be an anthology. So we would have to have a number of different people participate. So we did put out a call.
Okay.
And we said, hey, if you have stories about relationships, why don't... But it has to be a shorter story because it's an anthology.
Sure.
Why don't you...
Mine would be a mini-series.
Yes.
Of tragedies.
Yeah, some people actually did send three or four.
Did they? Yeah, yeah. It would just
like,
be wrong.
I have all of this. And you're like, okay, granted, but we only need just the one story. Yeah, and we put out a call, and everything that came back, you know, was so insightful and truthful and so interesting and quite different than what you would normally see in a romantic comedy.
Right. 'Cause
some of it is hardcore truth and, you know, and funny too. So,
did you change the names to protect the innocent?
Well, they're not necessarily based on true stories. Like,
okay.
Each person's story is fictional.
But certainly lots to relate to.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
You know, their past life, I'm sure, has informed what they have written, or just different issues, for
sure.
Example, that occur in male and female relationships and stuff like that. So I don't think any one story is completely a biopic, let's say.
Okay.
A short biopic.
Fair enough. Okay, so now, so the directors, though, that are directing each of these segments, it's not their stories, per se, that they're directing.
Well, whatever people are directing, they have written.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Oh, I wondered about that.
I would be the only somewhat of an exception, because Emily Bridger has written mine.
Right. Who is a comrade? Hey,
yes.
You've worked with Emily before on
yeah.
many things, including Sadie, which we spoke of.
And so talented.
Yes.
I mean, that...
And hilarious.
Yes, that woman's talent really is unlimited.
Right.
And, well, Deanne often has a writing partner.
Yes.
And that's Ian McLeod. And Jay Dahl did some writing as well. Because what happened over time was we went from having six separate stories to finding a way to intertwine them.
Oh.
Yeah. So
okay,
it's a bit more like a tapestry of stories now, woven together. Then we all collectively came together to talk about how those things could be sort of a web of stories. And
right.
over the course of time, we finally hit our stride, because as you can imagine, trying to find a way to meld all those stories
For
together
sure.
was a bit of a challenge. But we eventually got there.
Nice.
And I think we're at a good, really good place now. And everybody feels happy and excited just to be able to do what they love to do and fulfill their dreams.
Right. Well, let's talk about that, because I always get super excited being on a set. I just don't know what it is. And you know, we're here, it's a university, you know, on regular days, but today it is literally a movie set. Is that still cool for you, Latonia?
Yes.
Yeah.
It will always be cool.
Yeah.
It will never be uncool. And I think a lot of it is the fact that as a Newfoundlander, I mean, I'm from a place that many people are born storytellers, and storytelling is important to us.
Indeed.
And the Nova Scotians share that as well. But it's also just the hustle and bustle and the excitement of how you bring that to life, because each story certainly has a very important meaning. But I always say this about films, is that they're one of the most collaborative things you can ever do in life.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot of team players and a lot of voices that come together to have this ultimate expression of a beautiful product, a beautiful artistic product. And
yeah.
it's a thing of beauty to watch it in motion.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, so was that always something you wanted to do?
It was, yeah. When I was a kid, in my teen years in Milltown, a bunch of my friends and I started this little community channel.
Oh, you're kidding!
Oh, yes. We had the lotto numbers.
What was it called?
It was called Yes Productions.
Okay, very good. And were you broadcasting? Or?
Yes. Well, okay. Just locally.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's like on the community channel.
Exactly.
Like Wayne's World.
Kind of thing.
Kind okay.
Of like Wayne's World, yes. In a way. And
yeah.
We would run out and get little bits of footage to put on it, you know, and like lotto numbers.
Goodness.
And like fishing seasons and like all stuff like that.
And were
that.
You the only one that went on to it, or were there others that...
I know a few of my co-classmates at the time have gone into journalism and things
okay.
like that. One of
right.
my friends like works for the Ottawa Sun and stuff like that.
Fun.
So I always found that interesting, but I also did have a deep love of history and archaeology, so
okay.
that's kind of what I followed, but I always kept...
Yes, because I'm flashing back to your cool people profile. You have like some superstar degree in something,
yes.
don't you? What are you now? Should I have saluted you when we sat down? What is it?
So, well, I have a PhD in archaeology that focuses...
Luck.
On the,
it's not that kind of show.
No, I know.
Okay. As long as there's no quizzes later.
No.
A PhD in archaeology.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So that took a long time.
It's usually about, anywhere from 10 to 13 years, if once you get your field work included and the experience that you need to have. But people always say, well, I feel like film is so much different than archaeology. And I think you might think that on the outset, but really, with archaeology, what you're doing is you're taking bits and pieces of information to tell the story of a past life.
Whoa.
And so,
whoa.
Cameras are similar.
That's really deep.
Scenes
cool.
are bits and pieces of information that you put together.
But yeah. you've got a head on your shoulders. Not to suggest that you don't need to have intelligence to make movies, because you talk about that teamwork. I just want to flash back to it. It really is like an orchestra almost. Everybody's got to pull their weight. Everybody's got to do that. So now, when we talk about your discipline that it takes to do, the archaeology, is that, anything you've ever wanted to incorporate into your movies? Have you ever, have you got anything in your brain now that you're working on?
Yeah, I started out in documentaries first, in a way, right? It makes sense, because documentaries could be a little bit academic, and they are about history.
Yes.
So I did one about rum running in Newfoundland and Nova Scotia, and I did the history and the current issues with the sardine fishery in Black's Harbor, New Brunswick.
Okay.
And myself and Barbara Doran have a documentary right now that we've shot the trailer for.
Okay.
Or the pitch trailer, and that is a documentary about archaeology and an archaeologist.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and I've just written my first screenplay, and I set it in 1960s in Newfoundland.
Wow.
Yeah, so historic things are coming into my work, but of course, Hopeless Romantic is not historic.
You probably never stop. Is your mind, always going based on that little...
Is my mind always
going? No, but
going?
Of course it is. What a crazy question. But you know what I mean. Do you ever... Are you oh, that's a great idea, and you're talking into your phone, or do you have, it sounds like you've got about three or four things on the go at the minute, plus you're shooting a feature.
Yeah, and I have a research station and a non-profit that I run as well that relates to that, but I don't know,
Are getting you a hustler?
Older, no, I'm not a hustler, but I think as I get older, I'm just more relaxed, and you've been around the block a few times, so I never really truly feel stressed. I'm just so happy with everything that's going on in my
life. What's your sign that you're not stressed in this world?
I'm a Leo. Does that mean anything?
Oh, yes, it totally does. I'm an Aries. I always say to my mom, I'm in a constant state of panic and prayer, and that's a fact. She's like, well, you said your prayers today, and I'm like, yes, mom, I'm in a constant state of panic and prayer. That's probably a lot of sharing, but is that a cast member, or is that just somebody?
I think that's someone who works at the university,
right,
but he's dressed up like he could be in a movie.
Uniform. Yeah. Well, you can't help but notice.
He shouldn't go too far. We might be able to use his labor.
Indeed. Okay. Well, let's talk about this Hopeless Romantic cast that you've assembled, because certainly a familiar face to a lot of our listeners is Linda Boyd, who we adored for six seasons on Republic of Doyle. And she's actually, I just ran a feature, a project with Danny Boyle, a project with Tim Roth. I mean, she's constantly busy. How did you just pick up the phone and go, hey, Linda.
Yeah. Well, lucky for us, Deanne Foley is one of our directors, and she's one of our most experienced directors.
Sure.
I mean, this is Deanne's fourth film.
Yes.
And in the Canadian film industry, a fourth feature for a female is something.
Indeed.
And she is, of course, she's an incredible person. She's talented, and she gets
things
done.
And incredibly calm.
Calm.
Hey.
So calm.
She just, I'm like, holy. And there were, the last set I was on for Deanne was Relative Happiness.
Yes.
And there were an inordinate amount of moving parts at this wedding reception scene. And she was just the picture
cucumber.
Of calm.
Yeah, so
hey?
Calm. So she had worked with Linda on the Republic of Doyle, and they had a good relationship there. And then they had always been talking about making a movie together one day.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a part of the spine of the movie. Our movie kind of has a spine, and six stories are embedded into this major story arc of this woman, Anna, and that is played by Linda Boyd. So basically, Deanne called her up and said, I have this project.
Wow.
It's a lot of females are involved, female writers and directors, and some male writers too, and... very close to an all-female cast. Would you like to be involved?
Right.
And Linda was, she was all over it because she wanted to work with Deanne. And
she loves the East Coast.
And she loves the East Coast.
I wanted to say.
It's her favorite place.
Yeah.
One of her favorite places. And so she was just happy to come back. It was my first time meeting her, and I have to say, she's an incredibly impressive person.
Yes.
Like, she has all that experience on set with people like Diane Keaton and, you know, the real heavyweights in the acting world. And it was just like your best friend came by to the set to be a part of your movie. Extremely talented, but just very down to earth.
Yeah.
And she's here to get, it's about the work.
Indeed.
And she's here to get the work done. And no matter what we threw at her, it's like, oh, we'll change this last minute or some little thing. Just happy to do it.
Right.
Happy to go with it.
And so now how you take this story, this anthology, if you will, it's like, how many weeks have you got to shoot it?
We're doing a little bit of block shooting because the stories are different.
Now, what does block shooting mean for those of us playing the home game?
Right. So essentially, we shot for a week.
Okay.
Yep. Then we had a break for 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
And now Ruth is starting.
Okay.
Ruth Lawrence, so she's from Newfoundland. So she had to come over to Nova Scotia, get settled. The crew had to have turnaround time to create, you know, a brand new story.
Right.
Martine will shoot on Monday, Martine Blue.
Yes.
There'll be one sort of down day, and then Stephanie Clattenburg will shoot. Then we'll stop for the weekend. There'll be another prep day. I'll start. A day down or a day of prep, and then Deanne will start.
Okay.
So it's just these little smaller segments.
You know, as you're talking, I'm envisioning the premiere and how wonderful that's going to be.
Do you ever, I hope you will be there.
Does your mind go there as you're doing it, or are you literally in the moment? You don't get too far ahead of anything.
No, it's... I mean, I think everybody always wants their films to do well, but this thing certainly has a life of its own because there is so many directors and so many logistical things associated with it in terms of bringing it to life that it's, for me especially, I'll be directing too in a couple of weeks my own section of the story, and it is a little bit harder to look too far in the future because there's so much happening
right
now.
Has this ever even been done before?
I mean, people have certainly made anthologies before, but
yeah,
I don't...
Yeah, but with all female directors?
There was... a horror film recently, but they were 4 completely separate stories directed by women, so they would have been about 20 minutes long or something.
Okay.
But they were tied together by a theme.
Okay.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the film myself, and I think that was called X.
It sounds scary.
It does.
So I would not have seen
that. No, me either. I'm scared of everything that's scary. I'm just like, is there a girl version of this? I don't...
Right.
Can you black out the scary parts? I don't like it. So I haven't seen that, unfortunately, so I couldn't tell you how great it is, although it had a very nice reception, I know, and got into quite a few festivals. And for me, the unique part of this is that the stories are, even though it's an anthology, they are intertwined.
Yes.
So there is like a connecting force there.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's been done on the East Coast before. Hard to say,
yeah.
But I can't imagine that it would have been. It seems like I would have heard about it
Indeed.
By now.
Well, and myself as well.
Yeah.
But at any rate, it's so interesting that we're in a dorm, hey?
Yes.
And there's like young folks going back and
People back and
there's
forth.
There's just a man
the
in
life.
A bathrobe.
Yeah.
You look a little like Hugh Hefner. Okay, listen, we have to take a break, and I want to, when we come back, we're going to get a little deeper into, you're going to play Insights in 10. I don't know if you even know what that is.
No, I don't know.
It's going to be fun, I hope. And we're also going to talk about romance and, well, just film in general and all kinds of things about St. John's, because I would imagine you're a bit of an expert.
I'd love to do that.
Very
love
good.
All those talks.
All right, very good. Well, we're going to take a break here on CNBC Seen and Heard, and we'll be right back on Cove FM. Welcome back to See and Be Seen and Heard here on Cove FM in beautiful Hubbards, Nova Scotia. I am actually at the campus of, it's like King's College?
Gorgeous King's College.
Part of Dalhousie University in Halifax, sitting with Latonia Hardery, who is a Newfoundland girl. Hey!
Yes.
It's a small, small world. Now, do you ever get down to the South Shore? You were here living when? Did you live in Nova Scotia?
I lived in Halifax in Nova Scotia from 2010 till 2012.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So did you get around?
Oh, yes. Well,
yeah.
I have a lot of friends who like to go sailing and stuff like that. I mean, I didn't know anything about sailing, really, till I got here. And 2 years is
Can you sail a boat now?
No, really. I just kind of be a passenger.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I've learned a little bit about sailing schooners, but, you know, 2 summers is not really... really enough, I think, to become an expert, but I did learn some things, and I loved it here. I love Nova Scotia. I love the people of Nova Scotia, and as a Newfoundlander, you know, Nova Scotians are warm, open, caring, fun, generous people who love their environment like we do, so I really felt right at home.
Oh, very good. Now, do you have any favorites, any spots? You probably haven't had 2 seconds of downtime since you landed on this project.
No,
but
really, I have not really.
Is there anything that, as soon as I get back to Nova Scotia, now I've got to do, is there one thing or place you wanted to go?
I just really love walking around Halifax.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest. You know, yeah. Like St. John's is great as well, and Halifax too. Two great historic port cities.
Yes.
So the other day I sort of forced myself in a way to take a break because these things really can't get away from you in terms of self-care.
And yeah.
I just decided I was just going to go to walk. And nice. I walked around for 5 hours, you know, just looking at all the details and everything in the city and the architecture. And it just was, it just felt thrilling.
Yeah. You know,
even all the old cemeteries.
Right.
I know, as an archaeologist, probably sounds morbid, but that's kind of my jam, right? All the things that are ancient and old.
Indeed.
And I just loved it. And just stopping, chatting with people. And I wouldn't mind getting down to Lunenburg or something for a day, though, because I find that it's such a beautiful place, too.
Jump in the car. Well, we love it down on the South Shore. So let's talk about old cities. St. John's, there's really no other city like it in Canada. I can't imagine.
No.
The world, it's a standout spot. Yeah. But I want to talk to you about the fabric that makes up this community that you're a part of. It's just multi-layered. Everybody does like 10 things.
You have to.
Yeah. Do you play anything? Do you sing?
Yeah, I used to sing in a band and all
really?
That stuff when I was younger.
What was the band called?
That was when I was in Calgary, so it was kind of a Latin American band, actually.
Latin American?
I know,
were
girl.
Were you singing in Spanish or
yes.
anything? You were not.
I was.
Give me something, Latonia.
Well, the funny thing is I don't even really speak Spanish.
Oh, that's so funny.
But a lot of my friends did, so I really just learned the words,
right.
essentially, to the songs and got people to translate them for
hilarious.
Me.
That's hilarious.
Because at the University of Calgary, we have a lot of Latin American students because it focuses on Maya archaeology. So we get students from Ecuador, Mexico, Guatemala, all over.
Wow.
So you just kind of fall into that crowd and you learn a lot. And then
I
you
thought
end
I
up
knew
playing,
you. I don't know you. What was the name of the band then?
Caramba.
Caramba, come on.
Because sometimes you think, ay caramba, like Bart Simpson is like, holy cow, or some kind
I
of thing
love
like that.
This.
But it's actually can be a word for ancient song, too.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I am learning.
That's why
a ton
we do
here.
These things.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so let's talk about where St. John's, we'll get back to the fabric. So did you just, you know, you're growing up in this, you know, sort of small community. Did you just, you went to Calgary first then and then came back? Or how did it work?
I went to Memorial University
okay.
first.
Oh, right, because you had to, you're a PhD.
Well, I got my undergrad there and then I did my master's, my PhD in Calgary. But I always knew that I would come home.
Yes.
It was not really something that was up for debate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, always.
And what a difference. Now, I've had an opportunity to live in Alberta, and it's lovely, but I never felt at home there. I mean, the people are wonderful, but I had, and I worked out on the West Coast. There isn't anything quite like the East Coast. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the water, really, that I missed a lot when I went out there. So used to seeing water everywhere.
And then they say, we're going to the beach, and you're just... You bless your heart. Hey?
Yeah. Well, you know what I found is that I had to have kind of a shift in thinking, you know, and I had this discussion with my mother one day. It's like, what is it about water that I missed? Am I actually missing, like, the physical entity of water?
Right.
And we had this discussion one day, I remember, that it's probably more about the freedom that water brings. You're looking out, you can go places, it seems endless. And then once I sort of adopted that method of thinking, I started to get out into the mountains more.
Okay.
And then I started to feel a similar feeling.
Oh.
Of having this open atmosphere and being free. And it's once I started to experience that is when I really settled into Calgary. I enjoyed living there. I was there like 9 years and some of the best years of my life.
Great
people. But yes, I mean, it is different. And I, of course, made a lot of friends. And I was so thankful for all the great things that happened to me in Calgary. But
I just want
to come home, to be with my family, to be around
people.
Do you
have a big family? Like brothers
my
and sisters?
My mother has 13 brothers and sisters.
Holy cow.
My dad has 10 or 11, and
your cousins must number in
it's like 800,000 of us or something. And it's myself and three brothers.
Okay, and where do you fall in the order?
I'm the oldest. I'm the only girl, and I'm the oldest.
Really?
Yeah.
I went to this church in Orillia, Ontario, when I lived there, and this man used to come in every Sunday, and his daughters were like five steps. And you could just see they finally gave up, right?
Yeah.
They just kept trying for a boy. No dice.
No dice. Yeah.
So, all right, very good. And so how was your house growing up then? Was it crazy town? Was it all boys?
No, it just, the great thing too about living in Newfoundland is like, it doesn't matter how many people are in your house. There's always going to be way more people around.
Especially with your family.
Yeah.
Right?
And, you know, growing up in Milltown, lived in my hometown. So a lot of my parents' siblings were still around. So many people had moved away, but It was a really great atmosphere. You know, it's almost like you were your own little country or something.
Yes.
Or you didn't ever need to go outside your family to get a basketball team or nothing, or a softball team. It's
right.
Just like, oh, well, let's just get ourselves together. Let's get organized, people, and have a, you know, sports team.
Fun.
So there's just always people around. And that is the very
Newfoundland
way.
Did any of your brothers work at Yes Productions?
No, they're all younger than me.
Oh, like what, significantly younger? Okay, very good. And now are any of them in film now?
No.
Well, what did they do?
They, my brother works in oil and gas, and my other brothers are still in school and university.
Okay, now, so do your parents go, did they ever say, Latonia, really, just stick with the archaeology. Don't go into the film and television industry. Don't
do that. Not so much, because really the foray has only been the last 7 years, in which case, I mean, you know, pretty, it's not, I'm not,
you're not,
not a young chicken anymore.
Come on.
So they just found it, I think, probably a little more interesting in terms of how they made the connection in their minds between the two things. It's quite easy for me because I know the interior of the two industries and the two fields. So for me, it's actually not a giant leap, but for some people, it's like, I don't understand how those go together.
Well, I didn't until you explained it the way you did, and I could see how there are similar elements.
That really
aspects.
Is all archaeology is reconstructing the past lives of people, what mattered to them, what was important, how they moved, and filming is all about the life of people, you know, putting the pieces together.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. If you were to do anything else now, what would you do? Is there anything else? I mean, it sounds like you've got enough projects to keep you going for a long time.
Yeah.
But if somebody said, you can't do archaeology and you can't be in movies anymore, you can't do that, what is there any other...
I mean, maybe I would do more music, probably, I'd say.
Wow, this is an untapped... People out there listening now are going to be like, we need to hear more of Karamba. Hey?
Yeah, sorry. Research of Karamba. Our band is all over the world. I have to pull some strings to get us back together, like, literally. But that may be, because that wouldn't be such a far cry from the field I'm in, at least, and I wouldn't be starting over. And you know, I have a musical family, like all Newfoundlanders, so it doesn't make us any
didn't
different.
Say, did you play? I know you said you sang. Is there an instrument that you play?
Not really.
No? Okay.
No.
But if you've got a good voice, then you're out. Okay.
Like yourself, I've heard some of your music recently, and I'm like, wow.
I'll pay you later. It's not about me. Okay, so now, Latonia, you are on my site in a lot of ways, probably more ways than you even know, but I know we started out with your Cool People profile. I've covered your movies. I've seen you at St. John's Women's Film Festival. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a second, but one of the things we haven't done is Insights in 10.
Okay.
Now, this is basically 10 questions. You know, they're meant to be rapid fire, but there is no pressure on that, okay? And we'll just start. This is very official here, you can tell. I've got my map.
I'll see how it goes.
Question. No, there's no wrong answers. Okay, here we go. Sweet or salty?
Sweet, always.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Like, what would be your favorite?
It's just chocolate all the way.
Chocolate.
Night and day is all I think about when I wake up. Where is the chocolate?
Come on, is that true?
Oh, serious.
Oh, my gosh,
so
that's
serious.
So funny. Okay, tea or coffee?
Tea.
Wow, that was a long hesitation.
Yeah, I only started drinking coffee in 2008, but it's grown on me a lot. It keeps me going, but I grew up with tea. So comforting.
And that coincides with your foray into film. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, very good, because that's on set and it keeps you propelled. Okay, George Clooney or Brad Pitt?
George Clooney or Brad Pitt, I guess.
Wow, but who would you pick if you could have anybody then?
I don't know.
Those two are, like, to me, they're very different.
I just like Brad Pitt. I think they are very different, but Brad Pitt as an actor, I mean, I admire George Clooney too, but Brad Pitt has literally been in every single thing.
Yeah.
You know, and done quite a
wide range.
What
was your favorite Brad Pitt movie?
I would say it would be a toss-up between Fight Club and Legends of the Fall.
I loved Legends of the Fall.
Yeah.
I will watch that.
A bit of that little mystery. And,
Fight Club,
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't mind that kind of... I found that...
It is a bit violent, but it's just, you know, he's always supposed to be so handsome and everything, and then all of a sudden he's like, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just more of an underground warrior
type
person.
It's like, I want to say Seven.
It is Seven, that was with
And he
Gwyneth.
Was very crazy in that. Am I thinking of the right
Seven?
One? No, what am I thinking of? Monkeys?
12 Monkeys.
12 Monkeys.
Yeah.
He was...
I think he was in an institution in that one.
Yes. Planes, trains, or automobiles?
Trains.
Really? Now, when was the last train ride you took?
I think I'm saying trains because I've never been. I mean, I've been on trains, but it's right. such a long time ago, but yes. they just have such a romantic place in my mind. Like yes. one of the things I'd love to do is take the Trans-Siberian Railway and like Ooh. Go through Siberia or yes. like maybe even parts of Mongolia or something.
Right,
like,
right, right.
Wouldn't that be great? Let
it
the
would.
World fall away.
It
Planes,
would.
It's not enough leg room for someone my height. It's just it's a constant fight Aww. To get your legs out. But train...
Yeah,
oh,
would be
so
nice.
So romantic.
I know.
Watch
I
the Canadian Rockies go by.
And the that train ride across Canada is fantastic. My mom and I were just talking about the train in Newfoundland, and she was like, "Too bad they took that train out." You know.
I know.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, because that must have been a beautiful ride. Morning or night?
For what?
Well, it's just
to wake up.
It's just in general. Like, would you say you're up late all the time, or do you,
always okay. up late? Yeah, and always up early though too. So
really,
yeah.
do you set an alarm?
Yes,
you have to.
Have to.
Yeah, me too. And so, like, if somebody said, "Okay, well, you have nothing on the go tomorrow now," how late would you stay up on the regular?
Every night, at least till 1.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. All right. Very good. Because I'm a night person. I always see these Instagram pictures of like sunrises, and I'm thinking, who are you? And like, what are you doing? Hey, I'm folding laundry at 3 a.m. watching Netflix. Right? I'm not getting up to take. It's wrong. It's not about me. Okay. Favorite word.
Favorite word. Now, there's something I don't really think about often. Favorite word.
For a writer, that's tough.
It is, yeah.
yeah.
It's kind of like, what's your favorite song or what's your favorite movie?
Well,
it's
those questions are coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't really, okay, better get on the old thinking train on that. I don't know what my favorite word is. Gotta say. Anything that, I mean, but I do
We've
like,
had cement on the show, so the bar is not really high. Like, it just...
It's cement.
We've had, all kinds. Serendipity. We've
That's
had wow. I mean, there's no pressure.
Yeah,
there's no wrong answer,
like,
Latonia.
I know, but you know what I'm like? I think everything through.
Right.
I don't know. Basically, probably anything to do...
Karamba?
Karamba, could be. Or anything to do with stuff that relates to leisure, just because I don't have a lot of downtime, it seems.
Right.
So even sometimes when I hear
Spotting.
People say, like, leisure time, I'm like, that is fascinating concept.
Right.
Fascinating word, leisure.
Leisure. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's put that down. We'll log that as your favorite word. Okay.
Yeah.
Favorite sound?
Favorite sound. Definitely... birds in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah, just love it.
Yeah.
Just waking up to the world, sun comes up and you can hear the morning songbirds.
Yeah.
Oh, just
now you're
beat.
Not, this is not on the question. I'm going to deviate for just a second. Are you a city girl or a country girl?
I really do like it all. Gotta be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in a rural place, but I live in a city and...
You're fine.
Yeah. Each has their own thing.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So back to this now. Favorite song.
Favorite song. I've always liked Robbie Robertson's Somewhere Down the Crazy River.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
a good
Robbie
one.
Robertson. I mean,
Canadianity.
And musical
hey.
Genius.
Yes.
You know, ahead of his time, an Aboriginal person, making
right.
it in the music world. Like people like Buffy St. Marie, you know, so many years ago when it was a lot more difficult for them than it would be today. But
right.
it's just something about the way he's put that song together and the voices and
yeah.
then the extra voice that comes along and the smoky,
it's
sultry
a real
tones.
Story.
And it's a real, oh, it's just,
yeah.
just so good. Anytime
cool.
I hear it on the radio, it's crank.
Oh, there you go. All right,
yeah.
very good. We've never had that one. Okay, favorite movie.
Shawshank Redemption, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
You
really
said
good.
That without real
yeah.
hesitation.
That's one of the best movies I think I've ever seen for a pile of reasons. I mean, it's just a great story, but, you know, it's all about the human condition and the interaction and finding, love and even love in the form of friendship.
Right.
In a very difficult place to find it, in a
right.
prison.
Yeah, indeed.
You know, and then, like, interaction between so many different types of people.
It's right.
Tim Robbins, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Hard to beat it.
It's what the world was made for.
Every time I see one of those walls out in the real world, I always think of that movie. Hey, with the little hiding spot.
Yes,
right?
And the trees and the money.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Don't want to say too much.
No, indeed. Well, because hopefully people will watch it if they haven't
yes.
already.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, speaking of movies, when there's a movie made about Latonia Hardery, who will star as Latonia Hardery?
Oh, I don't know. Who will star as me? Who would star as me? I don't know.
I can't believe you haven't given this thought.
No, I haven't.
Come on.
No, I'm...
There should be a story about you.
What the... Who the heck would it be? Would it be like, I guess it has to be someone really tall, I suppose, and...
Well, I don't know. I mean...
5'10", so I don't think a short...
A lot of the actors
yeah.
are not as tall as they appear on screen.
I like Cate Blanchett a lot.
Oh, yes.
She's fair
She'd
and
be great.
Tall and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Or Kate Winslet.
Oh my goodness. Right? Yes. Yeah.
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 But you could do it. I mean, you're totally beautiful. And you don't act. You've never acted.
I did for a little while, and then I was like, I'm really bad at this.
Stop it. That's not true.
Oh, no. It's if the truer words never been spoke.
Oh, my gosh.
Honestly. I mean, I did have some roles in plays and small bits of movies, and I was doing it to help support myself in grad school in Calgary, you know.
Right.
Background. I mean, I did have some scholarships, but as a student, no matter what, you're always looking for ways to get extra funds to support your academic habit.
Right.
And, yeah, so I would do a little bit then, but I was like, bah. Yeah.
You're more comfortable behind the camera now.
Yeah, and then, yeah. I mean, there also was the general trend of anything I was auditioning for. I was like, why am I always somebody's girlfriend or like I'm a secondary story figure in anything that I audition for? And I just felt like, given my ability to organize things and learn and lead projects, like I led archaeological projects, it just seemed to make more sense to sort of be behind the camera and be going for the organizational side of things where I could probably
Which
make the
you
most
love.
Different. I love it.
Right?
I love it.
So that's where you're meant to be. Okay,
yeah.
And you found it. Okay, now it's not that kind of show to talk about your romance. Is there a significant other in your life?
Yes.
Okay, so who would play your romantic lead?
Oh, I guess in terms of somebody like what my current partner is, I guess it's Mark Ruffalo.
Okay. Well, he's dreamy.
Well, you know.
Well,
yes.
That's all right.
He is a very nice person.
Oh, very
as well.
Good.
Yes, in addition to the dreamy factor. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's a great cast you've made for your movie. So there you
I
go.
Know.
There's really nothing else I need to cover off now. We know insights into, and we learned so much about you there. Let's get back to the movies just before we get off the topic
Please,
of
yes.
movies, because the industry in general, I mean, you spoke to it just sort of briefly there with the roles and things like that that you weren't getting. Do you look at the landscape and say, well, this needs to change, or here's where I'd like to see the industry going? I don't know what it is. I find having sort of been promoting it, if you will, on the East Coast for the last little while, I kind of think there's a really great balance here compared to perhaps an industry-wide. Where do you come down on it? How do you feel?
Yeah, I think there definitely is a turning of the tide that's starting. So I'm not surprised that you start to feel like you're noticing it a bit more. But again, of course, the country, you know, it's a big country, so
yes.
it can't, just like the regionalism of the country, so there might be regionalism in film as well. Like in Newfoundland, for example, we do have a lot of female producers. We always have.
Yes. Why is that?
Well, I think in Newfoundland in particular, you know, it's not that we necessarily have a matriarchal society, but in Newfoundland, everybody has to work to be able to live there.
Sure.
That's just the way it's been for 500 years. Women have been
yes.
part of the whole fishing system and economy, and I think that's translated to other things.
Right.
About life in general. The running of the house, the raising of the kids, everybody had to come together, also in communities to make them work, because we live in such rural, isolated places. So it sort of makes sense that, especially in the film industry, which again is about, especially if you're producing, it's not only about finding the finances, but you've got to be a good worker. You've got to organize it. You've got to make all these moving parts work.
And I wonder, too, about the St. John's International Women's Film Festival. Do
yes,
you think that
that's where I was going next.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
because that's been going on. You know, it's one of the longest running film festivals for women in the world. So we have that as well. And that board and Jen
what
Brown.
What was the first time you went there? Can you remember?
My first time there, I think, was 2010.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, when I had first come back home and I had flown over for the weekend. And of course, since I moved home in 2012, I go every single year. Although I missed it this year because we're here doing this film, and I really felt it like it was a loss, you know, because I always go every year. So there's that. But across the country, there certainly is, when it comes to female directors of feature films, there is a dearth of female. It's only something like 17% or something
right.
like that, you know, and that number's low and it's too low.
Yes.
But the thing is, how can you change it? Well, you have to be proactive about it. And
right.
I think that women certainly are doing that right now. And
right.
this would be one of those projects. But it's not just for that alone. I mean, everybody, it's a good story that we're telling. And the people in and of their own right, the directors and writers we have, regardless of gender, are some of the brightest artistic
right.
minds in the Atlantic provinces, like Ruth Lawrence, you
yes.
know, I mean, Deanne, well, everybody, when you think of them as their own person,
right.
regardless of whether they're male or female, they're big contributors to the artistic fabric of the East Coast. And it's just a really wonderful feeling for me to be able to do something that brings all that talent together and puts it out in the world.
Right.
And yeah, there you can see that there is a movement. You know, Alias, Grace, like some of Margaret Atwood's stuff,
yes.
All of that's coming back to the fore and being written, directed, produced by women. And things like The Handmaid's Tale, perfect example,
you know,
like female directors and DOPs, all of this stuff. And it's really heartening for me to see all that. And I would like to see more because it's told in such a unique way.
For sure.
You know, and,
yeah.
And we want to do that. And I think for any industry to be vibrant, a multitude of voices is required. And that's why I like to see the rise in representation of females, but also Indigenous people as well. And in
right.
other minorities, like it's all about story, and it's great to have a number of different perspectives about life in your country or life in general.
Right. Okay, so now for somebody listening, because the hat you're wearing on this particular project is...
Producer, yeah. I'm producing three producers. So myself, Bill Niven, and Jay Dahl.
And Jay Dahl. And what is that? What are you doing?
Like, well, essentially as a producer, you are finding the finances to finance the movie, but you're also in charge of, you know, bringing the talent together, working to organize the project, deciding where it's going to be shot and how it's going to be shot and
right.
all of those things. And also seeing to your creatives, making sure that you balance, you know, maybe say, for example, your budget with their creative needs and
okay.
and things like that. So that's more or less in a nutshell. I mean, it's a little more complicated than that.
Sure.
Lots of paperwork and all
of
that. I was
going to say, tons of, you know, there's bottom line figuring and keeping people happy. Would that be?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, to be creative and to put your voice out there, you know, people do go out on a limb and they do take risks. And I see us three, me, Bill, and Jay, that falls under our roles as producers. Just I want those people to feel like they're heard and they have a voice, and that when they clearly state their vision to us, what can we give them as tools to make sure that they realize that?
Right. Okay, cool. So now if I'm out there listening and I think, that sounds like something I would like to do, you didn't go to school for it, did you? You were at the School of Hard Knocks. Would that be fair? Or
yeah, but...
Is that a good way to be?
I think there's a number of ways you can approach it. Again, because of my education with archaeology, I had to learn a lot about telling stories that way. So
right.
I could
transfer. So you had the foundation.
Yeah,
there.
Like I could transfer it. But people have done it a number of different ways,
right.
you know. So if there's anyone listening, especially young women, it's just, you can go to film school, sure.
Right.
But there's a lot of people around who, like myself, have just started volunteering on sets.
Right.
You know, doing background or something. And just step by step, making your way
right.
and learning it the right way and being mentored by some really great people.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes direction, like directing of the film and writing, you can, if you have talent, come by it honestly.
Yes. Directing is, because that's a hat you're going to wear in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
What do you love about that?
I just love the execution of the vision and the storytelling, I think, because those are the decisions that you get to make. You
right.
know what I mean? You work with the DOP to decide the framing, but also working with the actors to bring characters to life. I mean, it's just words on a page.
Yes.
Until you get you and your DOP and all your team.
Now, this isn't your first foray into directing.
No.
But it's your first feature?
Well, this will be, yeah, my first... I'm directing a segment of the larger feature. So
right.
I don't direct the whole feature myself, but it's my first time
no.
directing with respect to being part of a feature. So
right.
you're right on that.
So you're,
yeah.
so you're would you say, moving on up, so
For
to
sure.
speak?
Yeah.
And so would your the project that you're currently writing, is that something you envision directing as well?
Yeah.
It is.
So that would be, if I can get something like that or something similar off the ground, then that would be my first time directing a movie as a,
wow.
as a whole. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
so,
again, just... It's piece by piece,
right.
step by step. It's good sometimes not to rush it.
No,
yeah,
indeed.
just absorb it and feel good about the journey and just be right in there and take up every single detail. It's you'll often find it's those people that really do very well.
Yes, indeed. Oh, I'm thinking of Mark O'Brien for some reason as we're talking because
right.
it's kind of, I mean, I don't know how he started exactly, but I do know that he's sort of built and built and built and
yeah.
and that kind of thing. And now he's like... I mean, my gosh.
Everywhere,
what is
he
not?
He?
I know, he's omnipresent. I keep seeing his tweets, and he's supposed to be a dad and everything,
yes.
right?
And
how
well deserved. I mean, he's such a talented young actor, and
yeah.
you know, he's been on sets a lot. So,
yes.
with his foray or his movement into directing, again, there's that experience. And Sarah Polley would be the same thing.
Right.
I mean, she's been on set since she was 8.
I want to tell you something, and I haven't had an opportunity to talk about this movie on my show before, but did you see One Magic Christmas?
No.
Oh my goodness, because that was her very first acting role, and
okay.
I adored that
I
movie.
Will
I
see
still
it.
Adore
I
that movie. So, I mean, I know that she has said very openly that she has no interest in going back to acting, that she really enjoys being behind the camera. And just before we leave directing, because there is, it's almost like, and it sounds like you've had this opportunity to be a team lead, or what were you saying when you were on your expeditions or in your archaeology? Would it be a leader? Or?
Yeah, well, archaeology in some ways is similar to a film crew because you do sort of have like a lead person.
Right.
Which kind of be too equivalent to a producer here. And then you work as a team to excavate all the material from the ground. So it would not be uncommon to have between 20 and 30 people on
wow.
the project that you'd oversee. And that's exactly the same number, roughly, that's upstairs, you know?
Right.
It's about 30 of us on set
sure.
at a time.
But as a director, I don't want to say quarterback because, you know, there's I don't want to go to sports, but you have to, you're kind of the conductor, right, for the day,
yep.
on the day. Have you ever, like, because everybody's got their own way of doing it, and I would imagine if you gave the same script to 10 different directors, you'd get 10 different movies, right?
You would.
What do you do when you show up and you say, all right, this is my day to direct? What's your approach to it?
Well, essentially also, we have something called a first assistant director.
Okay.
And that's the person that actually kind of runs the floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like a first AD. Like,
yes.
So in television, we would call that a floor director.
Yes.
But that's what it is.
Yeah,
so you communicate, are they the buffer?
Yeah.
Or?
So sometimes you'll talk directly to the actors or they'll help you convey messages to the actors or the DOP and they'll help settle the floor down. But just for me, on a personal level, I try to be as prepared as I can, so
okay.
understand my blocking, where the actors are going to be, what I expect of the actors that day, and what they would expect of me, what is the subcontext I'm trying to get at that's in the lines. You know, there's the written word and this, but
right.
what are people really saying
okay.
in the written words? And it takes a lot of effort and sometimes really good actors to
yes.
to just get right into that moment. What does it mean? What's a person really trying to say? So you have to be really prepared.
Did you pick your first AD? I mean, that to me now I'm thinking about, you have to really have a great sort of unspoken almost, right,
yeah.
with your first AD, or do you know who it is?
Yes, our first AD is Nicole Close, and
okay.
she's the first AD for the entire film.
Okay,
so she'll
enough.
Be the first AD for everyone.
Okay.
And yeah, incredibly efficient and wonderful to work with. And just, yeah, very integral to how the day works.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize. So that's the way it is on all films then, right?
Pretty much.
Okay. See, we're
yeah.
learning a ton here
yeah,
today.
Yeah, I'm glad.
So now, who is your, who do you look to when you say, oh, I want to be just like that? Like, is there anyone that you say that you've followed their career path or their style of direction or writing? Are there any sort of maybe mentors or even just, you know, people sort of out there in the industry that you've cited as being wow?
Yeah. I mean, there's a really long list, I think.
Is that
for
true?
That. Yeah, because
yeah.
you're a filmmaker, so you watch a lot of films and you admire a lot of work.
Are you a filmaholic?
I do love watching films.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people who direct films do watch films.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always the case, though. I've heard of people who don't watch a lot, but certainly it seems like a lot of us do. I really like I don't know about standard, but certainly I look up to the people that other people look up to, like Alfred Hitchcock
okay.
and Andrei Tarkovsky is a Russian sort of poetic cinephile and filmmaker who just is outstanding. If you get a chance to look at some of that work, it's probably some of the most beautiful film work that's ever been made.
Yes.
And I think I really also admire, which I think might be common among women, is somebody like Kathryn Bigelow, who's won
right.
an Oscar for her directing. But she has been directing the type of film that she's been directing for quite a long time, like even in the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, so she made a movie called Strange Days. And I remember watching that film, and it just seemed so epic at the time. It was in the 90s, I think. And then I remember when the director credits came out, I was like, huh. I was directed by a woman.
Wow.
Like, I was just blown away. Yeah, I just couldn't believe that, because you just didn't see it that often.
Sure.
Something of that magnitude, so big, and had a lot of money.
Right.
And I wasn't even really into film that much then, except for loving them and watching them.
Yes.
And I remember seeing her name, and I was like, wow, that's a possibility. Sometimes
yes.
you don't know that those things are a possibility until you actually see someone doing them. So,
right.
And that's kind of when I started to think more about it. So
yeah.
if one day I ever get to meet Catherine Bigelow, then
that would be cool.
That would be one of the things I would say, you know, like I was young then, geez, in the 90s, but even at that point, it made an impression where it was a learning moment where I understood that really you just have to go after it.
Yes.
You know, it's there for the taking, but you've got to believe
sure
that you can do it. And there's a bit of a turning sort of tide moment when I saw that. I don't know.
Cool.
Why would I ever run into Catherine Bigelow?
You're on the track. Okay, we got to take one more quick break. And when we come back on CNBC and Heard, we're going to wrap things up with Latonia Hardery, who is in Halifax right now producing and directing Hopeless Romantic. CNBC and Heard will be right back on Cove FM. Welcome back to See and Be Seen and Heard on Cove FM. We are working remotely today in Halifax, which is sort of official, and thus the echoey sound. We're at King's College at Dalhousie University, where Hopeless Romantic is shooting, and I'm sitting across from Latonia Hardery, who is not only producing but directing this super cool project. And we talked sort of at the top of this show how cool it is to be on a movie set. Do you still have pinch me moments throughout your days, like, or are you just, you have to just sort of keep a...
No, I have pinch me moments all the time. It's a great question, you know. When somebody asks you, you realize, do I still have those? And yes, I do. Like even, so we're on set today and Ruth Lawrence is directing her segment of the film. And I just was watching her a few minutes ago and she was doing just such a great job. It's so into it, communicating with her actors. Everything on the screen is looking beautiful. And just to see that woman in motion creating all of this, working with the team, it just, I don't know. If I could burst with pride, I probably would have burst in that moment.
Yes.
So it is a pinch me because it takes a while, you know, when you have an idea. Working with my producing partners, Bill and Jay.
So when did this start? You know,
we kind of thought up the project a couple of years ago. So it does take some time.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a lot of sweat and tears, as they say, and you work really hard. And then all of a sudden, the moment is there.
Right.
And you go to camera. And you're creating this world of all these women telling their story about how they've interacted with each other over the course of life and through romance and stuff like that. And, you know, you've given it a spin that is female. It's not, it's comedy. But there's some drama and sentiment and some, like I said, hard truth.
Sure. Yeah. It's
life.
Right?
It's going to come out. It's going to come to the public. And, you just sit there and you go, wow. This is actually happening after all of this time.
And what's the hope in terms of it making its premiere?
The hope, I guess, is to have it ready for April, May in 2018 and then start submitting it to festivals then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And, and that's a whole other aspect of it. So we're talking about this romantic story. That's my genre. Like if somebody said you can watch anything, like if as long as there's no DNA or caution tape, I love it. Like I love a good cry. I love a romance. But you've mentioned a lot of movies in this interview that are not romance in terms of genre. Shawshank Redemption, although there, you know, there's a heartwarming element to it.
Yeah.
You've mentioned Strange Days. You've mentioned Alfred Hitchcock. Are you a romance? Would that be where you would go in terms of genre?
I like everything, to be honest. I would say that a romantic comedy type of what we're doing is not traditionally in my wheelhouse.
No? Okay.
But that's why we have people like Diane Foley to do a significant chunk of the film, because she has done similar things to that before and is quite adept at it. And just seeing her work is, again, another... It's a very humbling thing to see how good she is at what she does. But I'm actually excited about that. I'd like to be a person who can do several different things. Yeah,
sure.
So even though I'm producing, there's still a lot of moments of learning for me as well, which that to me is thrilling. You know, you want to keep going and be doing different things. I personally like drama and suspense stories. I don't like violence. I can't, you know, you'll probably never ever see me do a super violent movie, but I do like things that are embedded with drama and suspense and a little bit of thriller that... that's what I love. But I'm also learning that romantic comedies are also very enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, they're fewer and far between these days. Which, so as a, you know, you look at the Netflix romance, I'm like, that's, you're really reaching to call that romance when I look at the categories.
Yeah.
But at any rate, okay, now before I let you go, I want to ask you this question. And you kind of alluded to it. And so if somebody said, what do you think? Where will she be in 5 years? I might be able to answer it. But if we got together in 5 years, Latonya Hardery, and I said, what are you at? What will you be doing in 5 years' time?
I'm going to be doing the exact same thing, but I hope, with respect to film, in 5 years' time that I would have directed my own feature by then.
Right.
I would be lucky. But
well, now,
at least
so
one.
Where are you in terms of your screenplay then? Should we be looking for it to be out soon?
No, I've just got my first draft or second draft done now. So,
okay. Yeah. Do you have a title?
It's a working title, so probably it won't be...
Do you have a star in your mind? They say you should never write a screenplay with a star in your mind.
That's true, but I've always, Joanne Kelly, who is from home, from Bay to Stair.
Yes.
Yeah, we grew up together in Milltown. I really feel something special for her, not just because we're from the same place, but there's just something about her, and I work with her on Sadie, and sometimes when I am writing, I do have her in mind.
Do you? Okay, very good, because I'm certain she's an avid listener of CNBC and Heard.
I'm sure of it.
There you have it. All right, listen, Latonya Hardery, what a joy it has been to finally meet you and
put
a gorgeous face to that name that we've had on the site for so long. I wish you all the best. Can you wish a director the best, or is it break a leg? Or break a reel?
Sure.
What do you say?
You can say break a leg. You can say all the best. And I will happily receive it. And the same back. I just love your show, and I love everything that you're doing. And recently I got to hear you sing too, which I thought also was very fantastic.
Oh, so my gosh.
Thank you for everything you do.
We'll be taking in all the behind-the-scenes action on the Nova Scotia set of Hopeless Romantic in a special to air in a few weeks' time. But in the interim, you can find the podcast version of this episode along with show notes and links on my website, cnbcscene.com. And while you're there, be sure to enter our great ticket giveaway contest. Up for grabs this time, double guest passes to see the advanced screening of The Man Who Invented Christmas.
God bless us, everyone. Follow.
Humbug.
Oscar winner Christopher Plummer stars as Ebenezer Scrooge in this magical journey to his creation. Downton Abbey's Dan Stevens stars as Charles Dickens, whose real-life inspirations blend with his vivid imagination to conjure up unforgettable characters for this timeless tale, forever changing the holiday season into the celebration we know it today. You and a pal can enjoy every minute of this brand-new holiday film in Halifax next Tuesday, November the 20th. Enter our great ticket giveaway right now on cnbcscene.com.
That's enough. Back to work.
God bless us, everyone.
Thanks to Jason McDonald for our CNBC Seen and Heard theme music. Thanks to Latonya Hardery for being our guest. And thanks to you for joining us today. We sure hope you will again next time on Cove FM. I'm Stephanie Beaumont. Be well till then.